we present the News Quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Welcome to the News Quiz. We start with a cutting from the TVNZ website, read by Diana Speed.
Travel Bible Lonely Planet has picked New Zealand as one of its top destinations in 2015, praising its gay friendliness and hands-on access to sheep.
And our thanks to Mark Peach for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Susan Kalman and Phil Jupitus. Opposite them on my left, Samira Ahmed and Jeremy Hardy. Susan, who says the truth about highs has been kept on the down low?
This is a report by the Home Office, which has revealed a rift in the coalition government. Who'd have thought they disagreed on anything these days? It's a report on drug use, and it kind of came about because of the use of legal highs, which, if you don't know what they are, it's things like box sets of Cagney and Lacey. And on what the Home Office report said was that we should change drug policy, in that we shouldn't be punishing people for being in possession of drugs. Instead, we should be helping them. Now, the Liberal Democrats want to pursue this policy of decriminalising drugs, and the Conservatives, surprise, surprise, do not. And the Liberal Democrats accused the Conservatives of suppressing the report as well for some time because they didn't want the results to come out. So, I mean, I don't know a lot about this, genuinely don't know a lot about this, because I've never really taken drugs. I don't need any help in becoming paranoid and aggressive on a Friday night, to be honest with you. So I don't know whether or not it would help. It does seem to make sense not to simply imprison people for having some marijuana in their pocket. The only experience I've had, you may not know this, drug mules use coffee to disguise the smell of marijuana. And when I go on tour, I take fresh coffee with me, because it's my luxury, my one luxury item. And I was aware the other day, I was walking past some sniffer dogs, that my bag smelled heavily of coffee. And I thought, they'll think I was a drug mule. That was my first thought. I thought
does
they'll
it,
think...
Does it not make the marijuana all wet?
Yes. And so I walked past the sniffer dogs with my suitcase that smelt of coffee and slightly jokingly went, I don't have any drugs. And then I thought, oh no, that's not the right thing to say. I know I don't look like a drug mule, but if you think about it, I'm the perfect person to be a drug mule because I don't look like a drug mule.
Right.
You know, how many drug mules have a duffel coat?
I don't know. I've never, ever, to my knowledge,
met... I think Paddington Bear's story was paper thin when you think... I didn't have a Peruvian accent. There is no train from Peru to Paddington. It all doesn't hang together. I think he'd swallowed a condom full of marmalade and was smuggling it into West London.
They've decriminalised everything in Portugal, haven't they? I think even heroin is not banned. I think it's. And do you know, I've been to Portugal, and honestly, if you don't like, I don't know, cod or golf, well, I think the only other thing to do is heroin. I think there is...
But they saw a dramatic reduction, because it was at one point, one in ten, they said, statistically, people in Portugal had a heroin issue, and they've reduced that by half by decriminalising it and treating it as a health issue. But the Conservatives have said, you can't take into account that we're a different country, we don't have as much cod. So we can't do it. So, I mean, it's before the general election, it is clearly an issue about what they're going to do about the policy.
But then this is clearly, it's just the Lib Dems trying to convince us that they're really cool before the election, isn't it? I think the only reason the Lib Dems want to decriminalise drugs is that after the next election, they're going to have a lot of time to experiment. Norman Baker, the Lib Dem Home Office Drugs Minister, said a Home Office report proving there is no obvious link between tough laws and levels of illegal drug use had been suppressed by the Conservatives. Speaking on the Today programme, he said some Conservatives did not like the evidence, but if you see a tree, it is a tree. Unless, of course, you're really wasted. 2 points to Susan. Phil, who has high morals over low taxes?
Mr. Cameron. He So we've got an election next year, so the party conferences this year were like DFS.
Listen to all these attractive bargains. All these policies must be said in public. Now!
So whereas the Liberals have gone, you can have drugs, and Labour have gone, we're not quite sure yet. The Tories have gone, you can have all your money back. And so Mr Cameron, in an article in The Times today...
He did say this week, he said, I'm not a complicated man, I like simple things.
Basically, like David Gove. Cameron is trying to portray himself these days as Lenny from Of Mice and Men.
Oh, the country's really lovely. We're going to grow alfalfa and everybody's going to be happy. George, George, when are we doing the budget, George?
So... He said in his article in The Times that there was a moral duty to lower tax on the part of the government. And I take issue with that. I think your moral duty is to keep us alive and educate us. That's what we pay our taxes for.
But well, it's based on this idea that... Because everybody thinks that no money is spent on them. People say, well, I never go to hospital. I don't need anything provided by the state. I don't walk on the pavement. I jump from my house into my car. My car doesn't use the road. It's a plane. I don't need the fire. But my house has never burnt down. And if it did, I would go to my other house. frankly, I don't need anything the state can possibly provide me with.
But you know why it's being pushed as a policy? Because all the evidence shows that people who vote Conservative are more likely to turn out and vote. Mm-hmm. If you look at the kind of policies, and things like the pension policy, there is a huge divide between people who don't have enough of a pension to live on, but there's actually a significant number of people who are quite affluent, and these are the kind of people who turn out and vote, mm-hmm. and so it does look quite cynical.
I took issue with what Mr Cameron was saying. He said there was a moral duty to give money back to people so they could spend it on their families.
Yep.
I don't like my family. What am I meant to do with money?
It is tricky, the whole family thing, because I was listening to that and I thought, that's absolutely right. I spent £100 on my family last night. Well, I bought them 5 bottles of gin, and here's the thing. They don't drink gin. So I did...
Follow that logic through, so I get an extra £3,800 a year, whatever it is, that I'm going to get back from Mr Cameron if he's voted in to spend on my family, and I've got 3 cats. What do cats need for £3,800? Nothing. They don't need... I mean, I've bought them everything they need. They've got shoes. They've got school clothes.
You can have holidays in cat hotels.
You can have holidays in cat hotels.
And there's one where they have a restroom for the cats where there's a man playing live accordion music.
This is always the part of the show at Conservative Central Office where they go, oh, good, they're talking about Susan's cats again.
I'm going to give a bonus point if anybody can tell me why things in Hungary have been particularly taxing this week.
Oh, the interwebs.
Extra point.
They're taxing their internets, aren't they? They are proposing a tax on... is it your bandwidth or the amount
yeah,
that
it's
you...
The, yeah, it's the use of the internet. I mean, there was a sentence that I actually fully didn't understand. The initial plan is to charge 150 forints per gigabyte. I have no idea what that means.
Well, this is a sort of across Europe thing, because in Ireland, they've started charging them for their water, and the Irish have gone very cross indeed. And we know they have a propensity to do that, and I speak as a gentleman who is half Irish. The other day, a bloke in a rural area of Ireland, someone was coming down his path with a water meter to install at his house, and the guy just got a shotgun out and went, keep walking.
But it's extraordinary. This is a country that belongs to the European Union.
It's very dangerous. It's actually concerning for a number of reasons, because one of the reasons they put it into force was that people were using the internet to make phone calls, and so they were losing revenue. But if you start taxing the internet, now this is just personally speaking, if you start taxing the internet, I have nothing else. I have nothing. There is no... I have nothing. I have nothing. I have literally... There's no... I have nothing.
Susan, nobody's going to make you live in Hungary. Okay. It's fine.
But I mean, the first upside. Demonstration, there were like 40, 50,000 people on the streets, all teenage boys.
This guy, this Prime Minister of Hungary, is called Viktor Orbán. Yeah. Here's the thing about him. He first assumed office in the late 90s, and then after a couple of years away, he recently made a political comeback and has been Prime Minister ever since. And this has made me very nervous. Does anybody know where Tony Blair is? It's a very anxious... It's not a good thing. David Cameron has stated that tax cuts will be at the heart of the Conservative manifesto for the next election, saying they were a moral duty. An average worker will pay £3,800 less income tax between 2015 and 2020 because of planned Tory tax cuts or because they've met Gary Barlow's accountant. Cameron said he wanted to recognise those who have been bearing a large burden of tax with quiet stoicism. If you can call buying the Daily Mail and threatening to vote UKIP quiet stoicism. 2 points to Phil and an extra one for the Hungarian question. Samira, who thinks Britain's benefit system is a pain in the derrière?
This is the mayor of Calais, who says that because Britain has such generous benefits, £36, she claims. But basically, immigrants are willing to die rather than be French. Which is fair enough, really.
Do you know, that's not a spin on the story I'd even thought of. That's very good. Yes, she said the migrants have no idea about the value of money. They don't understand that £36 is very little per week. Although very little, you get 3 series of the news quiz for that. That's a fantastic amount of money. It has been an extraordinary time, actually, talking about immigration. For an extra point again, who's put a nought against Mediterranean crossings?
Everybody.
Italy. Italy isn't going to deploy its sea rescue to help boats because they claim that boats are now setting out, waiting to be rescued, and that's the plan.
I've always thought that, you know, every time I've been in a war zone somewhere like Libya, which we turned into a hellhole through our intervention, you know, when you're in a situation like that, you think, oh, do you know what I feel like? I feel like being plucked out of the sea by a helicopter. I think I'll go and hurl myself onto a tiny little boat and maybe... But the Italian Navy are actually saying, well, we haven't had the memo, we're going to carry on. Bless
them.
Bless them, the Italian Navy.
Extraordinary idea that if you don't fund search and rescue operations, it might encourage, you know, people not to make this crossing. It didn't make sense to me. I'm constantly crossing roads without looking because I know there are ambulances. Nick Griffin, BNP... leader in 2009, he said, if I had any say, I'd sink the Mediterranean boats, and it's now government policy, pretty much. So it's extraordinary.
I'm reminded of the time when Sandy came to this country.
Okay,
lashed to a raft made of copies of The Little Mermaid. Freely available in her home country.
Let's
with naught but a jar of herring to sustain her. A sail made of her own pants.
For some reason...
A spinnaker, if you will.
Do you know what's so sad? I want to know what kind of herring it was.
Come on, mustard.
Listen, we're going to have a quick thing here. There's a Mori survey about the public's misconception around immigration and employment. Anybody can answer. What percentage of the population of Great Britain are immigrants to this country?
7.
4.
Well, people thought 24%, and the actual answer is 13%. What percentage of GB population is over 65?
16.
40. 20. Actually, Susan's closest, it's 17%, but people thought it
depends
was...
Depends what the winter is like, normally.
That's true. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a quick quiz within a quiz, OK? And ooh. I've got a prize. Look.
Don't mess with the format, Sandy.
Yeah.
These are Haribo.
And
when I was at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival this year, I saw there was a packet of... there's a popular Haribo sweet called the Tangfastics. Do you see what they did there? And there was some Tangfastics spilt in the road. And I left and I went and did my show. And I came back 3 hours later. They were still on the road, but next to them, lying in the road, because it had fallen out, because the bin lorries had been along, was a used children's nappy. And the seagulls were eating that. The Haribo... completely untouched.
You know, you could turn that into a thought for the day.
I am waiting for the call.
Phil, so I need some, like, can you improv a bit of Sig tune for my quiz within a quiz?
It's time for Sandy's Sweet Treat, the Beat Meat.
Boom! Hey! Okay. So, it's the nearest person to give an answer. What percentage of French men admit to cheating on their significant others?
30.
60.
55.
70. 55! Yeah! Okay, so Susan's got 1 point. What is the best place for vegetarians and vegans in the UK?
A vegetarian
Brighton.
Restaurant.
Brighton.
Brighton. Closer than Brighton.
Oh, Islington.
No, it's closer. It is closer. Anybody?
Camden.
Is it Hebden Bridge?
It's Glasgow. which country drinks the most beer in the world?
Holland.
Saudi Arabia.
Now, it's
Germany.
It's the Czech Republic.
Czech Republic.
It's the Czech Republic. The UK
Czech
is
Republic.
So based on one correct answer, Susan is the winner.
Congratulations, Susan Calman. That was Sandy Toksvig's Sweet Treat the Beep Meat.
The mayor of Calais, Natasha Bouchard, has blamed Britain's reputation as a nation... Did you seriously put a whole packet in your mouth?
Can I interest you in a nappy?
Delicious, thank you very much, Shane. Apologies, I was just checking to see if they were poisoned.
No, that's fine.
Do you never do that when you're, like, at dinner, you always eat it first and go, just checking to see if it was poisoned?
No.
Okay.
The mayor of Calais, Natasha Bouchard, has blamed Britain's reputation as a nation with a generous benefit system on the large numbers of immigrants trying to get from Calais to Britain. While giving evidence to the Commons Home Affairs Select Committee, she claimed Britain had done nothing to tell potential migrants that there was no El Dorado for them in the UK. We should probably warn them that Brookside has finished as well. 2 points to Samira. At the end of round one, the scores are Susan and Phil have got 5 points, but so too have Samira and Jeremy. We start round two with an advert from the Norfolk and Norwich Association for the Blind.
Theatre outing, The Full Monty. Cost £18.50. Includes audio description and touch tour.
Thanks to Hayden Charles for sending us that. Susan, have a listen to this. Susan, who got shirty about feminism this week?
This is a brilliant story. The first time I encountered this story, I saw a picture of Harriet Harman wearing a T-shirt that said, "This is what a feminist looks like." She was wearing it on the front benches of the opposition, staring at David Cameron. Now, the issue is, Elle magazine had asked people to wear a T-shirt that said, "This is what a feminist looks like." Harriet did it. Benedict Cumberbatch did it. He's very handsome. Nick Clegg did it, Miliband did it, and David Cameron didn't. Now, he was asked 5 times by Elle magazine to do it. Now, he didn't refuse as such. He said he didn't have enough time. Now, what I would say to David Cameron, because I know he's a listener, it took me 8 seconds to put a T-shirt on in the toilets of a Virgin train this morning. 8 seconds. And I was impaired by the movement of the train. 8 seconds, David. That's what it takes. That's on a Virgin train, David, and you've got people to help you. It's not that you didn't have enough time to put on the T-shirt, David. It's the fact you didn't want to have the word feminist on you. Everyone else has got the T-shirt on, David. Put on the T-shirt that says feminism. Because from a man that said, "Calm down, dear," at PMQs, I would quite like to see him wearing a T-shirt that said feminist on it, so that girls growing up in this country know that their Prime Minister actually has a bit of respect for what happens to them. So put on the T-shirt, David. Otherwise, people will put on a T-shirt with another F-word on it with your face on it, mate.
I don't think... I think it's potentially counterintuitive, because if young women think that feminists look like David Cameron,
yeah,
you know.
It is regarded as a controversial thing, because I was asked to wear one a few years ago because this campaign's been running for a while, and when the BBC said, "Oh, we need a publicity shot for some of the programmes you're doing," and the photo was me wearing that, and they blacked it out.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
But I find it extraordinary that in 2014, having something on you that says you're a feminist is a controversial issue.
Well, next thing you'll be demanding the vote soon.
But the other weird thing was to see somebody in PMQs wearing a T-shirt at all, because they're normally in a kind of formal thing. And I thought maybe the next thing is Cameron sitting next to Clegg in one of those T-shirts that says, "I'm with stupid."
You've got to understand his background, though, because he probably, you know, if you think he was born and then spirited away to Eton, probably hadn't met a woman until he was 21. And he's had no experience of women until he met his missus, who's never spoken. I don't think anyone has ever seen her speak. Maybe she's actually quite common.
No.
But isn't she?
Perhaps she's... Imagine if she's, like, just a very high-pitched Geordie.
Ah, but no, she...
Oh, David! Are we going to the theatre? I know you can get free tickets for stuff with you being... Prime Minister Amat. David.
I met her once. I gave a speech at number 10 on behalf of a charity. And afterwards, she came up to me. She said, "It was very good. You should think about speaking professionally." I said, "Thanks so much."
But you've forgotten the other thing, which is, of course, if Nick Clegg had not worn that T-shirt, can you imagine what Miriam would have done to him when he got home?
So it's a different kettle of fish in the Clegg household, I suspect. He's probably had that branded on him.
It's just that seems a bit to me that the whole thing about being a feminist isn't just about wearing a T-shirt. I don't want it to be reduced to wearing a T-shirt. I think there's a great way to let people know about gender equality, and that's to front one of the only long-running satirical panel shows that regularly has more than one woman on it.
I'm afraid the women are hysterical. We must strike them, Phil.
The thing is, it's hugely important.
Perhaps it's their time.
Yes. It's like Planet of the Apes all over, isn't it? Only with the birds taking over.
Samira, Susan and I can't be in the same room without our cycles colliding.
Yeah. What is that for? I can't even make my phone talk to my laptop, and yet you three, boom.
This week, David Cameron refused to pose in a "This is what a feminist looks like" T-shirt, and Harriet Harman rubbed his nose in it by wearing one to Prime Minister's Question Time. The T-shirt was created as part of a campaign run by Elle magazine and the Fawcett Society, and there's also a matching purse for women to keep their consistently lower wages in. Cameron said he'd give the campaign a statement of support, but wouldn't accept the T-shirt, explaining it would just be another thing for his wife to iron. Sensing an opportunity, Ed Miliband tried wearing a "This is what a Prime Minister looks like" T-shirt. But got his head stuck in the armhole. Two points to Susan. Phil, who doesn't have the right to bare bums?
Oh, it's the Naked Rambler. Mm. The Naked Rambler, Stephen Gough, ex-Marine, because he likes to ramble naked, has spent over 10 years in prison. He's received various, for what is just walking around naked, quite harsh sentences for this, and he's gone to the European Court of Human Rights. He went there to sort of appeal that it was a fundamental human right of his to be able to ramble around naked, and they have this week finally said it isn't, basically because they feel that the offence that he could potentially cause to other people is also an infringement of the other people's human rights, which I don't agree with. I think that if Mr. Gough wants to scamper around the country naked, it's a fantastic opportunity for people to exercise their don't-look-at-it skills, their look-away skills. Perhaps Radio 4 could add a Stephen Gough bit just to the end of the shipping forecast, you know, a naked rambler forecast, if you will. And so when they go, that was the shipping forecast, and now the Stephen Gough forecast, Devonshire wandering some testicles.
Does he have to, you know, couldn't he just buy, as it were, an extra walking sock?
It is a peculiarly narcissistic thing, naturism. And you think, well, there is the right not to have other people invade your space. And that is the trouble with nudists, is that exhibitionism is about occupying other people's territory. That's why German people are always naked. They are. Germans are invariably naked or in uniform. They are. And there's a nudist beach in a place called Studland. Studland was a bad name for the beach in Dorset. Beautiful beach. You get the chain ferry over from Zambank side over to the Studland Zone. You walk. It's about a 2-mile walk. There's a bit, which is the naked bit, and it says you may remove your clothes now if you want. And people walk around with nothing on. And the fact is, it's purely about exhibitionism, because I've seen them in January when it's bitter and they are trolling up and down the beach wearing a cagoule and a hat, but with their knackers hanging out. Don't tell me that's about feeling the cool breeze on your skin when you're wearing knee length. The only part of them actually showing is their genitalia.
I think think, Phil, I absolutely disagree with you about it's then my requirement to look away. If someone is there, you have to see something in order to look away. Otherwise, one is always looking away.
It's awkward. From it. The thing is, it's, you're right, it's awkward, isn't it?
At my height, yes.
Yes. Stephen Gough, the so-called naked rambler, faces a possible lifetime of arrest, release and rearrest after he lost his case at the European Court of Human Rights. One of his most recent arrests occurred after he stripped off on an aeroplane. But to be fair, Ryanair do now charge if you want to wear clothes. In solidarity with the naked rambler, I'm happy to confirm that today's news quiz panel is also entirely naked, and if this offends you, please look away from your radio. Apart from Jeremy, who's wearing a leather girdle.
Hardy, semi-tumescent. Some chafing. Toxvig, pert. Occasional wins.
2 points to Phil. Tamira, who had a run-in with a runner?
Oh, this was great. I kept watching that footage back. So David Cameron was coming out or something and this guy just ran at him, apparently with a white towel around his hand. And actually, if you look back at it again and again, Cameron, as well as sort of dodging it, looks a bit like he was going to try and get a quick sly kick in when no one was looking when they were dragging him off. But basically, this man did what Ed Miliband has kind of failed to do in 4 years, which is kind of land a blow on the Prime Minister.
I mean, I've gone out jogging and never run into anybody. I'm under them, yes, but...
But they did try and make a huge story out of it on the news. The trouble with that news, BBC News Channel, is that sometimes it's a slow news day, and they went on and on about it. Well, of course, let's talk to our worrying jogging incidents correspondent. You know, the danger is in the situation, although the man was an innocent jogger, he might have been carrying a knife simply to lend it to a friend of his who was in need of a knife, and he might have been running with scissors, even though people are told not to run with scissors. Sometimes if a draper friend had rung and said, I need some scissors very quickly, and the jogger might have been running with the, there is always that. But then we live in a free society and we cannot simply arrest and keep profiles online of people with friends who are drapers or enjoy running very slowly and pointlessly around the streets.
I'm sorry, Jeremy, I'm going to have to interrupt you there. We are just hearing he was wearing green flesh. Do you have a commentary?
Honestly, I cannot think of a story more British than the media going into hysterics about the Prime Minister getting accidentally shoved by a jogger. It seems to me the only way it could be more British is if the jogger was Mary Berry and... The PM fell into some bunting and then he apologised to the man who pushed him. That would make it a little bit more British. The Prime Minister's security arrangements are under review after a jogger collided with David Cameron outside Leeds Civic Hall. Labour's Keith Vaz said he expected there to be a review of procedures. UKIP asked if Mr Farley was foreign. And the Green Party wanted to know why one of their MPs wasn't invited to run into the Prime Minister. Because Farley was going to the gym, he had a towel wrapped around his hand, which officers might have mistakenly believed was a weapon. Well, that's public school shower games for you. 2 points to Samira. So that brings us to the end of round two, and the scores are... Ooh, very good. Susan and Phil have got 8 points, but Samira and Jeremy have gone into the lead with 10. Start round three with a cutting from The Times reporting on the International Tree Climbing Championships.
Contestants were judged on 2 different vertical ascents and their ability to rescue a dummy from high in the forest canopy. The victors won cash and a chainsaw.
And our thanks to David Godden for sending us that. Susan, who has become a fan of Gangster App?
Yeah, this is a pretty serious and sinister story.
Yeah. Ideal for Halloween, Susan.
This is...
It's the same noise you made for David Cameron, isn't it?
No, the David noise is...
Yeah. Is there an album?
This is a very light-hearted story. Okay, so the police are using some software to analyse 5 years' worth of social media activity, online activity by gang members in London, to see if they can predict which one of those gang members is going to reoffend. And the reason why it's, I think, slightly concerning is that it's the start of Terminator, really. Start the film Terminator, where Skynet becomes self-aware and takes us all over. That's really what we're talking... This is Terminator happening now. Because what it means is, if this is successful, that governments or the police can analyse our social media activity and predict what it is that we're going to do. Now, that's concerning because, I mean, I'm a writer and I research a lot of very different things online, Sandy. And the concern is that in the future, they will analyse our patterns of behaviour and make judgments on us according to that, when it could just be an innocent, how do I dispose of a body? I mean, that was just something I searched for because I'm writing a script. I mean, I'm not going to kill anybody, you know, now. And it's, you know...
But this really worries me. This is just an app, isn't it?
It's an algorithm. It's a software algorithm, really. They're calling it an app. But it's what it does is it takes into account all of the activity... public activity, of which, because of the Regulation of Investigatory Powers Act, a lot of things... Sorry, get excited by that act. A lot of things are public.
But if you discover that a gang member is at risk of reoffending, what do you do then? Do you turn them off and on again and hope that fixes it?
It's essentially Minority Report, which was the Tom Cruise film where they arrested people.
You can't give Sandy pop culture references to the stories. No. She
it's
doesn't
like
see pop culture.
Arresting someone for a crime
Blyton,
they haven't.
South.
So the Famous Five in the Famous Five story. Where George is arrested for thinking a bad thing about someone. Remember that one? Yeah. Five go mad in a borstal. George was arrested for thinking, so it's a pre-crime. So the danger is,
that's
if
terrible.
They think I'm going to commit a crime, they might arrest me for it when I haven't actually... you don't know you're being monitored in that way. You don't know what other information they're putting that together with. You don't know what anyone is doing out there.
Yeah, but it's like when those ISIS people post stuff saying, you know, why are you eating chicken in Nando's when you could be fighting for Allah? I mean, they post it on social media, it's fair enough.
Seriously, that's their pitch?
Yeah. Actually, what's quite interesting about...
That's why I'm not fighting for ISIS. I never eat in Nando's.
It's not that. It's the fact that then that is combined and put into a list somewhere. You will then be on a database, a watch list or something, when all you've done is... I'm not saying it's necessarily a bad thing, but there's no regulation.
It's not a list of names. It's a list of things that are said, and then you might look on the basis... It's the same thing of going through emails and looking for keywords that might suggest someone's engaged in terrorist activity.
Mm-hmm. Is one of those words Nando's? Because I'm getting really worried about this.
You're all right.
I've never gone to Nando's. The Metropolitan Police have been testing software which helps them identify gang members most likely to commit violent crimes. The software analysed intelligence about gang members across a 4-year period, and then the results were compared with known acts of violence that took place in the 5th year before everyone decided that Grand Theft Auto was far more fun. Detective Superintendent Tim Champion said he wanted to make sure the Met is intelligence-led at all times, unlike South Yorkshire Police. 2 points to Susan. Phil, who's given us the FAQs for minding your P's and Q's?
Oh, goodness me. Well, as the classiest man on the show tonight, Sandy. Yeah. It's a Debrett's Guide to Etiquette has been updated to include some contemporary social mores that we've been exhibiting and how one should behave in certain situations. Of course, as society progresses, our habits change, and Debrett's has moved with the times. The last time that they updated Debrett's was to include the instruction that one should pass the duchy to the left-hand side.
I didn't
also
know that.
When one is passing the crack pipe, it should be pre-warmed and handed to the right-hand side.
Do you know that they did a recent experiment, only 20% of tube passengers offered to give up their seat to a visibly pregnant woman. Seriously, hardly worth sticking that cushion up my jumper anymore.
Yeah, but you don't always know because somebody... I did offer my seat to a woman the other day and I thought she might be pregnant and then she said, no, it's all right, and I thought, oh, you're not pregnant.
No, but you didn't say, oh, you're pregnant, will you sit down? Oh, no, you're just fat, did you?
Well, I did say... No,
Samira, he might have done. Yeah.
I said, well, that's what happened when you let boys touch you. I said, no, I didn't. I didn't. I just said, oh, right, then fine. Because she looked at me and she thought I was probably more frail.
Yes.
Did you?
More in need of a bowl of soup and a warm place to shelter, probably, than her.
There's a very simple strategy, because I used to use it, which is to get on and say, if there's anyone on this tube carriage who's not 7 months pregnant and wouldn't mind letting me sit down, I'd be very grateful. And it always worked. And
well, that's
until you got
idea.
Pregnant, and then you found it.
I quite liked, on the subject of greetings, the guide reminds us kissing is not appropriate in many professional situations. And I thought, well, there are some that will charge extra for that.
I quite like the new guidelines on food in public. For instance, on taking food into a cinema, it advocates not firing up a hibachi barbecue in a multiplex.
I seriously once did a show in a theatre where people in the front row had brought an Indian takeaway with them. Debrett's, who publish handbooks on etiquette, have disclosed the questions that most troubled the British public in 2014. The guide is 480 pages long and includes rules about such modern phenomena as when you're allowed to use mobile phones, where you can smoke e-cigarettes, and what you can shout at Piers Morgan. Debrett's handbook on good manners is the culmination of more than 10,000 inquiries received in the last year, 9,000 of which were, do you really still publish this thing? So 2 points to Phil. Jeremy, listen to this.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
Jeremy, why might we have a lack of lanterns, lack o' lanterns this Halloween?
There's a dearth. There's a dearth of pumpkins.
I think you'll find it's pronounced death.
There's a death. Well, originally, apparently it started not in America, the whole jack-o'-lantern thing. I've been looking up. It started in Scotland and Ireland. They used to holler out turnips. Then they realised that turnips are not hollow in the way that a pumpkin is, and that was quite a stupid thing to do with a spoon and a Stanley knife. So the Americans said, hey, we got these pumpkins, they're great, and if you just cut the top off, it's virtually all already. And then they don't need to use Stanley knives. They don't do that. In America, they get their child to bring its assault rifle into the kitchen and shoot some holes in the jack-o'-lantern and then throw a white phosphorus bomb into the jack-o'-lantern, which burns until Christmas.
Is anybody dressing up for Halloween? Anybody watch you going out? Go on, Susan.
Tiger.
Oh,
I've got a tiger costume made for me.
Yeah,
I've been working on this for a couple of years now. James Robertson Justice. I mean, it's a bit niche, but I think I can carry it off.
Sparrow, you blithering idiot!
You know that terrible moment on Halloween when you've run out of sweets, and then if you're stupid, you say, well, perhaps they'd like some salad. You think, no, of course they don't want some salad. Well, I could make up some crudité. They don't want crudité. That's the whole point. They've already eaten their own body weight in Haribo. They're going to be zombies with no teeth by the time they get to our... So you turn the lights out and hide on the floor and pretend you're not there.
Because, you know, I bet all the local kids come and think, oh, it's Jeremy Hardy's house. Because when I was a teenager, Anthony Andrews lived not far away. I used to hear about the girls who used to go to Anthony Andrews' house to see him, and they'd probably be really disappointed if he didn't answer the door. You could always offer them a glass of wine or something. It'd be very sophisticated.
Oh, come in, children. Let me tell you about my interesting career in humour. That worked. It's not the 70s anymore, Samira.
I love trick-or-treating, and I've got it all planned. I'm going as an educated immigrant lesbian mother who works for the BBC. It scares the crap out of the Daily Mail. A warm summer followed by heavy rains in October has damaged the UK's pumpkin crop in the run-up to Halloween. The tradition of carving pumpkins is something we've borrowed from America, like trick-or-treating and diabetes. If you want to know a great way of making pumpkin pie, you divide the circumference of the pumpkin by its diameter. That's such a Radio 4 joke, isn't it? Classic Radio 4.
There, real classic Toxvig. Just nailing that Radio 4 demographic. Boom. There she goes again. Let's talk about something. So, you've seen The Hobbit, second film. I mean, you're in it.
A spokesman for Morrison said they were taking emergency measures to source more pumpkins in what has been described as the most pathetic emergency ever. Before we reveal the final scores, has anybody got a cutting that they would like to share? Samira.
This is from Gumtree in Surrey. It's an advert selling an engagement ring. And it says, This is less than a month old and hardly used due to man being an idiot.
I've got one from the Times, sitting by Peter Curtin. A flight to Edinburgh had to make an emergency landing at Gatwick Airport after a drunk passenger attacked cabin crew with a prosthetic leg. Cabin crew managed to restrain the woman and put her in handcuffs before she was escorted off the diverted plane. One of the passengers said, when the police came on board to escort her off the plane, people started singing the Hokey Cokey.
Else.
This is from the Wilts and Gloucester Standard, sent in by Steve Coffey. A Sittington couple getting ready to celebrate a diamond wedding anniversary have divulged their secrets to a long and happy marriage. Dave and Renee Curtis, who live on the outskirts of Cirencester, met in Cheltenham when he was 20 and she was just 17. When asked about tips for staying together for decades like they have, the couple said it was important never to fall asleep while having an argument.
I brought my daughter with me today and I let her pick my cuttings. I've not read it yet. I'm not going to judge you, sweetheart. But if this dies, you can walk home. So this was sent in by Mr. Darren Conroy and it is a review for Jump Leads on the Tesco Direct website. And it says, good length, 5 stars. Nice clips and plenty of reach. Better than regular cables. Make good nipple clamps when not in the car.
You're coming home, baby. You're coming home.
Let's take a look at the final scores. Susan and Phil have got 12 points, but this week's winners are Samira and Jeremy with 14. Before we leave you, here is an advert for the Whitney Rugby Club Bonfire Night, spotted on the Oxfordshire Cotswold website by Pamela Keeley.
Best Dressed Guy competition. All who enter receive a free prize and the winner gets put on top of the bonfire.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Susan Kalman, Phil Jupiter, Samira Ahmed and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig and the news was read by me, Diana Spoo. The chair script was written by Gareth Gwynn, Benjamin Partridge and John Hunter, with additional material by Rose Biggin and Gabby Hutchinson-Crouch. The producer was Sam Michel.